Welcome to the Potter's House North podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Prayer will make you stronger. Prayer will make you more confident. It will make you less stressful. It will make you less fearful. Men, it will make you less stressful and less fearful. When we learn to balance the dance between God talking to us and then us talking to God, it will, I promise you, I guarantee, it will improve every area of our lives. So Daniel, he's worried in the text about where he is in life. So he starts reading this book, and it's called the book by Jeremiah. Now you gotta understand, Daniel and Jeremiah were contemporaries. The two of them lived at the same time. And so when Babylon was crushed by Israel, Daniel was taken captive as a prisoner of war into Babylon. But Jeremiah was left behind in the defeated, broken down city of Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah's book, God tells Jeremiah, those guys, I'm telling you, they're going to be there for 70 years. For 70 years. So when Daniel picks up and starts reading what Jeremiah has written, Daniel all of a sudden gets hope. Why? Because if there's a day to go into trouble, there's a day to come out of it. Woo! And when Daniel started reading that, he didn't just say, oh my God, it's 70 years. No, Daniel was like, whoo, this will come to an end. Oh, I don't know who that's for, but God said to tell somebody that trouble don't last always. This will come to an end. Daniel was reading in Jeremiah. You want to know what Daniel was reading? Good, I'm glad, because I'm going to tell you. And he was reading this, and it made him hopeful. And in my Bible, the caption of where he was reading said, Jeremiah's letters to the captives. Here's what Daniel was reading. God says this to you. You will be kept in Babylon for 70 years, but then, somebody shout, but then, I will keep my gracious promise to you, and I will bring you back to your homeland. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Woo! Y'all hear that in context? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you your expected end. I will give you a hope, and I will give you a future. God is saying, I got plans for your success and not for your defeat. I said, God has got plans, telling Daniel, I got plans for you, boy. Plans, I don't care what you feel like. I don't care how worried you are. I don't care how exhausted you are. I don't care how bad you want to go home. I got plans for you, and I'm going to give you success and not defeat. I will give you hope, and I will give you a future. And if you've been in the church for any length of time at all, you have heard that scripture before. But what we often do is we often leave off the last phrase. But here's what the last phrase says. In those days, I got plans for you, said God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you your expected end. I want to give you a hope. I want to give you a future. And in those days, when you pray, I will listen. God. That's why you can't just hear of a scripture that the church has turned into a cliche phrase and just think it's going to happen. And it doesn't work like that. He says, when you pray in those days, when you pray, look at somebody and tell them you got something to do. When you pray, he said, I will listen. Listen to me close. God is saying to somebody, to us, to everybody, I made you for a purpose. You are not an accident. You are not a chance. I have a plan for your life. But guess what, church? It is not automatic. Hello? Because you can miss both the plan and the purpose, thinking it's just automatic. What he's saying to us is there are two factors that will determine whether you miss your purpose or whether you seize your purpose. He said, this is what he said to him, I'm going to rescue you just like I promised I would. I'm going to bring you back home just like I promised I would. I'm going to give you the things that you need to get through what you need to get through to in life just like I promised I would. But, somebody say but. It's how we handle those two factors that will determine whether we fulfill our destiny or whether we miss our destiny. Now, here are the two factors. Write them down because you need to keep these factors in your heart and in your mind. Here are the two factors. The two factors are, number one, God's timing, and number two, my prayer. God's timing and my prayer. Let me explain. God said, I have a purpose for your life. I didn't make you without a purpose. I didn't form you for no reason at all. I have a plan, and my plan is good for you. But there is also a timetable that's attached to my plan. And he said, I'm not cutting short my plan. You can cry. You can beg. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'm not cutting. Tell somebody there are no shortcuts to destiny. He said you're going to be there 70 years, and you're not going to get out 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, or 1 day early, because that is my plan. But don't worry, because my plan is good. He said, when the time is right, I will fulfill my plan and I will get you back home. And you can count on that thing right there. If I told you I was going to get you out of it, you rest assured I won't get you out early, but I will get you out. However, somebody say, however. Once you get out, once you get home, Daniel, you are going to have to do something yourself. You, young man, are going to have to pray. And when you pray, I will listen. I made you a promise. I'm going to get you out of what you're in. And when I get you home, you are going to pray and I am going to listen. And what I want you to notice here is that what God is saying, while I am sovereign and while I can do whatever I want to do, I am not a bully and I will not force my way into your life. So both, somebody shout both. Both you and God have to play an important role in his plan and in his purpose for your life. So for those of you that are just living and you got your feet in the dock of the bay watching the tide roll away, gay, sarah, 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 whatever will be, while you're just doing all that because you think, oh, God's just going to do it. Let me tell you something. He's not just going to do it. He's already done everything he was going to. God is saying to us, I want you to know I'm God and I'm sovereign, but I also want you to know that there's some things that you have to do in your life. See, God determines the timing of the plan and the purpose for your life, but when the timing is right, you have still got something to do and you've got to pray, because it's not until you ask that you receive. James 4:2 says, you do not have what you need because you do not ask God for it. You do not have what you need because you do not ask God for it. Wait a minute. I asked God to get him to marry me. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you, wait a minute, back at you, because I'm going to tell you this. If that wasn't the plan of God for your life, God ain't hearing it. And you don't know the plan because you don't know the word. You know church, but you don't know the word. Woo. You have not because you, James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. So wait a minute. You mean that God has some things for my life that I'm in need of, but he won't release them until I ask for them? Yes, that is precisely what I am saying. You have not, we have not, because we ask not. Understand, God has the timing, but you have the prayer. God has the resources, but you have the prayer. God has the responsibility of being the provider of our needs, but you have the responsibility of praying and asking God to meet those needs according to his word. Some things have not happened in some of our lives simply because we have not taken the time to ask God to do them in prayer according to his will. Somebody in here says, well, I'm just a little confused, Pastor, because now I don't know if I'm waiting on God or God's waiting on me. And that's a legitimate question. I mean, you know, I have a big dream. I have a big dream for my life. I really believe God is in this dream for my life, and God wants it to happen for me, but it hasn't happened for me yet. So I'm confused. I don't know if the next move is me or the next move is him. I don't know who's waiting on who. And I'm so glad that you brought that question up, because if you have asked God to do something really great in your life, If we've prayed about it, if we've then made sure that there's nothing between me and God, if I'm not hiding any issues, hoping that he will ignore, if I'm not willfully living in sin, if I am living in harmony with my God, if I'm reading the book every day, if I am abiding in him and his word is abiding in me, if I have asked God and he still has not answered me yet, then guess what? I am waiting on him. Look, and the worst thing we can do is get anxious when we are in the I am waiting on God mode. Because when we step out and start trying to do things, when he said, I want you to stand right there and wait, that's when we get in a mess. That's when Ishmaels are birthed. That's when wild asses, that's what Ishmael's name means, he's a wild ass. That's when we birth stuff that God never intended for us to birth. And now we got to put it on life support and just hope and hope and hope that it's going to live and not die. But if God never meant for it to live, hello, you can rest assured that it is not going to live. So it has everything to do when you've done and you went down the checklist and you've examined all of those areas and God still ain't moving. Don't get out there and try to make something happen. Just stand still and see the salvation, the complete deliverance of the Lord your God. And then on the other hand, if I have something that I've always wanted God to do in my life, but I've never prayed about it, and I never had the courage to say, God, could you help me with this? If I've never asked for guidance, then God is waiting on you. There is a distinct difference between those two stages. So let me ask you a personal question today. What do you really want in your life that you've never asked God for? You think about it. You ask other people. You're looking for financing. You're looking to get knowledge about that thing. And you're about to explode with information. But it's not happening. Could it be? It's because you haven't built an altar and said, God, I got all this stuff right here. I'm going to lay it on the altar. And in laying it on the altar, I'm submitting it to you. If you say live, it'll live. And I'll be happy. If you say die, it'll die. And I'll ultimately be happy. Because I don't want anything that you don't want me to want. Can I tell you today, you can ask God for anything, but you got to listen for him. Look into his word and allow him to make the first move in your life. Look at somebody and tell them the first move is on God. I don't know about y'all, but that makes me feel so good. Because sometimes, I don't know, am I supposed to move? God going to move? What's going on? What's going on? No, the first move is always going to be on God. Why? Because he is the initiator. You would not be able to draw a breath had he not given you a breath. Are y'all following me on that? The second step that Daniel modeled for us in prayer was found in the third verse there. Write this down. Number two, he started seeking after God. In other words, he fastened his focus on God. Daniel 9 and 3, it says, he says, so I turned my face to the Lord. And he said, I started seeking him. He says, I turned my face. Whew. Brothers, I mean, I can't talk from a male perspective because I'm not a male, but I can talk to you from a female perspective. I've had 40 years experience in being married, 41 years experience in being married. And I will tell you this from experience. Whenever your wife talks to you, look at her. Hello, ladies, don't leave me out here. Don't just act like, yeah, here's my husband. This is what he does. Wow. That's when I know he ain't heard a thing I said. Wow. And if I ask him to repeat what I just said, he would be so lost. And because I don't want to look at him so lost and make him feel so awkward, I'll just walk out and say, that's right, babe. But I might have something awesome to say to you, but you'll never know it if you don't look up at me, because when you give me your undivided attention, you put a demand on me to bring the best of me to the surface. Hello. So when you give the person, not just your spouse, but when you give the person you're talking to, whether it's in a ministry here, whether it's on a job, whether it's your child early in the morning, if you, Lana used to, I'll never forget, Lana would look at her kids and she'd get right down on their level. Well, all of the girls did actually. And they would say, hold my face. Hold my face. And the babies would just grab their face and hold it. And she would say, now I'm telling you this. And she would bring correction, or she'd be like, you know, bring them love. But either way, she had their undivided attention. Because when you give people your undivided attention, what you're saying is, I'm tuned in. I am listening. I'm ready to receive what you are saying. Number one, you are important to me. Number two, what you are saying is important to me. Your attention to her, brothers, means more than a box of chocolate and a dozen roses and a pretty card will ever mean to her. And the reason your attention means so much is because your attention is your life. Can I tell you, you can do that with God as well. Turn your face. The songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. So whenever I talk to God, if I'm really like seriously having a moment with God, I will turn my face to him. I will lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. We sing that and it's a cliche, but sometimes you ought to physically say, I'm changing this. And I'm not talking to people down here that can't help me anymore. Now I'm talking to somebody that's higher than I am. And what I'm saying is, God, I'm here. I am present. I am honored to have this moment in your presence. And I love what the New American Standard Bible says there. It says, so Daniel said, so I gave my attention to the Lord. I gave it to him. He didn't have to take it. He didn't have to let hell break loose in my life before I would give him my attention. I gave him it's so much better if you give it to him and he don't have to take it. I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him in prayer. So the first step is he listened to God in prayer. The second step, he sought God in prayer. Why should I seek him? Oh my God, do you have a concordance? Do you know how to use a concordance? How many don't have a concordance or you don't know how to use it? Lift up your hand. I'm not going to get you. I totally understand. I just want to help you. I want to shine the light on it. A concordance is what tells you, I have a Strong's concordance. It tells me where every word is listed in Scripture. So if I want to read scriptures about seeking God, I go to the word seek or seeking, and underneath it is, good Lord, 500 scriptures. And it tells me where I can find them. So here's why we need to seek the Lord. Amos 5:4 says, seek me and you will live. If for no other reason, seek God so that you can live. And I'm not talking about just existing. I'm not just talking about barely making it. I'm not just talking about going through the motions. But I'm talking about living. I'm talking about being alive. I'm talking about being full. I'm talking about prevailing. I'm talking about being refreshed. He said, seek me and I'll show you how to be happy. I'll show you how to recover everything that was stolen from you. Seek me and I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm hath eaten up. Seek me and I will show you how to live a prosperous life. I'll show you how to be revived from sickness, revived from discouragement, revived from faint-heartedness. I'll revive you from death. Seek me and you will live. That's why when I seek the Lord, I don't want nobody to bother me because I'm trying to live. I'm just trying to live. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me not may find me, but those who seek me will find me. Find me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, he said, you will find me when you seek me with part of your heart. No, maybe the reason we're not finding God and we're not getting him to answer our prayers is because we do it half-heartedly. We are not turning our eyes toward him. We are not focusing in on him. And God is saying, when you get serious about really wanting to know me and seek for me, I will make sure that you find me. My grandbabies crawl around my house, and I know many times when they're looking for me, if I walk out of a room for a second, I know I can't stay gone, but for a second, because Mason and Mariah are going to crawl and they're going to try to find me. And whenever I hear them holler, I make myself known to them because I want to help them in their journey. I don't want them to crawl any more than they have to crawl or need to crawl. I don't want to stress them out, making them think that they are alone, but I'm there when they cry out. I'm there. Do you know God is exactly the same way? He said, if you make an effort to find me, I'll be found. Woo! And let me tell you one more thing. He rewards those. Here's another reason to seek him. He rewards those who earnestly look for him. Would you like God to reward your business? Seek him. Do you want him to reward your marriage? Seek him. Do you want him to reward your goals? Seek him. Do you want him to reward your finances? Begin to seek God, because whatever area you choose to seek him in, God will reward it. But whatever area you choose not to seek him in, you are on your own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Don't seek wealth, seek God. Don't seek fame, seek God. Don't seek pleasures, seek God. Don't seek a man, sisters, seek God. He said, if you'll seek me first, I will take care of everything that you have need of. I am a living witness to that, that whenever I find myself in need, if I seek God, he begins to supply it. As I'm faithful taking care of his house, he faithfully takes care of my house. And we may not realize this, but a lot of the pain, the pressure, the stress, the difficulties, a lot of the mess and the tangled up relationships, a lot of the sickness and the failure and the trauma that we are dealing with right now in our life is a direct result of us not seeking God. Not that I don't love him. I do love him, but loving him ain't gonna be enough. Because the Bible clearly says you will reap what you sow. If you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. I know you love me, so you'll stand there and praise me, and tears will run down your face, but it's not because you're adoring me. It's because your life is a mess. So there you miss out on both ends. You don't even understand what real worship is about. Because if you're not in a bad place in life, you don't worship. Because you think worship is when you're hurting and you're saying, oh God, I need you to help me. You're a good, good father. Hello, that's a portion of it. But that's not near what it's all about. We've missed the whole thing if we think that that's what it's about. Not seeking God for direction. Not seeking him for clarity, not seeking him for guidance. That's the reason some of us are in the mess we're in. Not seeking him for permission to buy that house. That was never your house to begin with. So now you get in it, you fill it with all kinds of stuff, you run your credit card up, and now you can't make the payment on the house, and they're threatening to take it away, and you're about to have a nervous breakdown. Now you can't even come to church because you don't know why God ain't answering your prayer. He ain't answering your prayer because you didn't pray to begin with. Y'all ain't gonna help me, but I'm tired of ignorance. I'm tired of God having to take the blame for our ignorance. Hello? Did you ask him for permission to take that job? I know it looked like it was more money, but if you didn't ask him for permission and it wasn't his will, they're gonna keep you for 30 days or 90 days and then they're gonna let you go. And now you're without a job. And now you're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. God, he just made me be without a job for some reason. I'm gonna try to make it. I'm gonna hold on. God didn't do that to you. You did that to yourself. Quit hiding behind all of these religious cliches and making God look like he is not God. Hello. All we're doing is reaping the consequences of our dumb decisions. And let me tell you something. I'm going to close with this. When you make a decision to do something that you don't ask God about, you know what God does? He backs off and he lets you reap the rewards of your dumb decisions. Is there anybody who knows what I'm talking about? Both hands, both feet in the air. I have been there and done that. You know what God says? Here's what God says. Fine. Have it your way, Burger King. That's cool. That's awesome. I'm going to back out, and I'm going to let you do exactly what you want to do. Pastor Brady, you know the Bible doesn't say that. It does say that. Hosea 5 and 15 says this. He said, I will return to my place on high, and I'll wait until they acknowledge their offenses and until they feel their guilt, and then they seek my face. And then in their troubles and in their distresses, which will get their attention, they will earnestly seek me, saying, let us return to the Lord because so that he may heal us. God's saying, do what you want to do. I'm out. I'm going back to my place on high. I'm going up to another level. I'm going to wait up there until you finally acknowledge, God, I missed you. I failed you. And when you do that, he says, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to heal you. But I ain't going to do it while you're still trying to be the king.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you join us online every Sunday morning at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Streaming live at www.tphnd.org/watchnow or through our Potter's House North app.